immigration bill because of infighting between conservatives and moderates. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
I think we're making advancements because we're putting ideas on the table. Members are being able to express themselves.
Any House-passed measure would face a challenge in the Senate. Leaders there are working on legislation specific to the issue of immigrant family separations at the border.
Fox's Jared Halpern on Capitol Hill. Fox News. We report, you decide.
She's been my support for 53 years, my better half from the moment we met. And now that it's my turn to be the better half, it's good to know there's help.
If you need help caring for someone you love, Kindred may be the answer. Kindred Services can provide you with nursing visits, medications, equipment, medical supplies, and more. If you have questions about home health, hospice, or care after a hospital stay, call Kindred and speak with a registered nurse. See how we can help. 1-866-KINDRED.
Just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
When President Trump promised tax cuts, Twinkle Kavanaugh promised that those savings would go back into the pockets of hardworking Alabamians. And both Trump and Twinkle lived up to their promises. Just weeks ago, Twinkle Kavanaugh, as head of the Public Service Commission, led the effort to return $337 million of the Trump tax cuts to electricity customers in Alabama. That's more than $300 million Twinkle Kavanaugh ordered the big utilities to return to hardworking Alabamians. And under Twinkle, the price of natural gas for our homes hit its lowest mark in a decade. Putting money back in the pockets of Alabama families. Keeping her promise to turn Christian values into conservative government. Twinkle Kavanaugh for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Twinkle for Alabama. Post Office Box 240367, Montgomery, Alabama 36124.
Would you pay $18 for a loaf of bread? Crazy, right? But many people are paying much more than they should with their high-interest credit card debt, more than 17% APR. Now there's a way to lower that rate and save money with Lightstream. With Lightstream, you can consolidate your credit card debt into one low-interest loan and pay as little as 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Plus, right now, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to Lightstream.com/news. You could save hundreds to thousands of dollars in interest. And with Lightstream's Rate Beat program, you'll get the most competitive rate because Lightstream will beat any lender's qualifying rate. With Lightstream's Rate Beat program, there's no reason to shop around. You know you're getting the most competitive rate and your very best savings. Apply today at Lightstream.com/news and get an additional interest rate discount. That's Lightstream.com/news. Lightstream.com/news. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for important information about our rate beat program, same day funding, and limits on Lightstream loans.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, what are you doing up here on the roof?
I want to tell the world I just met the woman of my dreams. Well, what about you?
I want to tell the world that Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Liberty did what?
They saved me $782.
Oh, you go first then. $782 really puts finding love into perspective.
Visit us online to get a quote and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Dirty carpets don't keep a schedule. You do. That's why the Home Depot has the Hoover Power Scrub Elite Pet Plus Carpet Cleaner for just $148, over $40 off. Its quick clean mode with heat force helps cut drying time to less than 45 minutes. If you have a schedule to keep, you don't want to sit around waiting on a wet carpet. The Hoover Power Scrub Elite, just $148, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through July 11th.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Capital City Ace Hardware. When it comes to hardware for your home, Ace is the place. 3215 Taylor Road, next to Applebee's.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The better than normal rain chances are back on this first day of summer. In fact, the risk will continue and then fade out in the overnight hours, low temperature in the middle 70s. Tomorrow, we'll do it again. A rather generous supply of showers and storms, a better than normal chance. Not every town gets wet, though. High temperature in the lower 90s tomorrow. By Saturday, routine forecasts, high around 93, partly cloudy, scattered afternoon storms here and there. Then low to mid 90s on Sunday and Monday as storms become isolated in nature. Our weather app. keeps you on top of the weather changes. When you take it on the road, it knows where you are. It'll give you the current weather, forecast weather, radar, and warnings for that area. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. It's a great companion on the road. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hi, I'm Angela from Capital City Ace. If you haven't already noticed, summer is here, and I would like to invite y'all to come out to our store for your lawn, garden, and other outdoor needs. Regardless if it's a big project or a quick fixer-upper, your local Ace Hardware folks are here to help you. We've got a variety of plants, pesticides, bird seed, and other outdoor tools. So on your next outing, make sure you stop by Capital City Ace, Montgomery's helpful place.
Better prices, bigger savings. Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Montgomery and Prattville has it all. This week, get up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Or during the Jeep Celebration event, get up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Plus, all trade-ins are welcome in any condition, even high mileage and damaged vehicles. And with a job bringing home $350 weekly, we can get almost anyone approved. All trade-ins are welcome. Quick, easy credit approval. Up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Only at Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery and Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville, or online at Brubaker.com.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and I approve this ad.
Must finance through Chrysler Capital. Stock numbers R8040 and J7371, plus tax, tag, title, doc, and destination fees. All rebates and incentives to dealer. Negative equity refinanced. Offers don't combine.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Oh, there it is. I was waiting for the silence to end. Oh, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
In studio with me, we have D'Anthony Turner. How you doing, man?
What's up, man? Vibing to this music.
Me too. That was a suggestion of Brandon. He's also here. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
That was a good pick, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good pick. I don't even know what that is.
Summer Madness, just wait till they just come in and watch this.
Oh, you know about it.
Yes, man. When it come in, it just gives you life. To me, I feel like this is what Donald Glover and all them, man, get their vibes from.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh.
I feel like the president should just put this on and smoke a joint and maybe just calm down. about the last 2 years of his presidency.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was saying that earlier today. I like my presidents who smoke a lot of pot take naps.
Oh, yeah, you need to.
Yeah, like, what was it, the 1920s, there was Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't seek another term. And, you know, people probably, if they're going to leave office, put this big, you know, statement out. They give a speech for 20 minutes. Yeah, this is what I accomplished. This is what I accomplished. Apparently, he just had his press secretary go out and hand the press a note. He's not seeking another term. He was known for taking naps all day.
Yeah, he was getting high when he handed the press secretary the paper.
Exactly.
Oh, of course, of course.
Well, and we like to think these guys run things.
Okay.
They have to make decisions when nobody else wants to make the decision.
Well, right?
You're not running this, you know, however... $3 trillion.
They're just the fall guys of America.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is my question. I mean, how do you Oh, yeah. Thank you. But how do you fault a lot of these people? Like, Like, everybody gets so up in arms when they find out that politicians and people in power in general have dark sides. Why does everybody get so surprised by that?
I'm not surprised at all.
I'm a human, man. Everybody got a dark side. Everybody has a past. I don't care who you are. Only person that ain't got a past was Jesus.
I don't know, but everybody...
Literally, where's the history? You see him as a kid, corrected all the wise men.
I hate it.
And then he shows up at like 30-something. Like, what were you doing?
He dies a virgin. Come on, man. Like, somewhere down the line.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Jesus, he was up there like, he just came into his mind like, hey, I got to go do my father's work.
Yeah.
Peace out.
And he could just leave. How can you whoop Jesus as a child? Or you couldn't even catch him.
No.
Off walking on the bath water.
You know what I'm saying? Why do you think the showers was invented? That's the only way they can get them wet.
Mom, wouldn't it be better to turn the other cheek? Here you go. Hit the other side. Hit the other side, Mom. I'll take it. I'll take on all your sins.
Right, I mean, but just imagine your wife or girlfriend come up to you and like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
What? Wait, are we supposed to be getting married?
Oh, right. Oh. What Joseph was
going
through.
Yeah. Joseph up there like, what? Immaculate conception. Yeah,
That's how you know his parents weren't black. Because you can't do that in a black house. Hey, I'm pregnant. Who the hell you been with?
Exactly. Because
God did it.
I ain't touched you. No, God ain't did that.
Yeah, black, we ain't going to believe in God that much. Just think he just pregnated you.
Exactly. So wait a minute. So how you guys feel... right now, the NBA draft is today, man. I mean, optimistic about that, or are we talking Cleveland and Golden State once again?
Well, let me tell you something. First, I ain't stunned Cleveland. They have no cap room or nothing, so I really ain't stunned nothing Cleveland has going on. Golden State can stay like they are. I'm confident in them, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I don't care about nothing else.
I hear that. What about you, Joey? Do you have a favorite team that you root for?
Not really. No.
Really?
No, I'm ready for football season. That's it, man. I mean, after the playoffs are done, Golden State, one shot to Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and all them boys over there, man. Kevin Durant, you know, I'm a big Golden State fan. I'm just waiting on college football. I'm from the South. Exactly. We don't have a football team. We don't a professional football team. We don't have a basketball team. All we has is Alabama Roll Tide, or if you're, you know, like a little cat or Eagle Auburn. But that's all we have. So that's what I'm looking forward to, man.
I was about to say, I'm blessed to be from the North. You know, we can do either or, you know, basketball, football. You know, we got the Spartans, we got the Wolverines, we got the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know,
you from Ohio?
No, not at all.
Stop naming teams that ain't from where you from, man.
Michigan State. Okay. That's my team. Okay. Spartans.
All right. Well, no, what's happened to me? Because I remember doing this. Like, we'd watch an Auburn game. My dad went to Auburn. Mm-hmm. I went to Auburn. He graduated from there. He was kind of big into it. But, you know, a game would come on. Half the time, he's not even watching it. He's outside cooking. He's kind of peeking in. Like, pay attention to the game. But the further I get from actually playing in high school, and I watch, and I'm excited for college football season like you.
Right.
But I'm not as interested because I'm not doing it on the field myself in a small way at a small school. And so now I don't relate quite as much. Though it is cool. I like college football because the stories, I think, are a little better.
Oh, yeah.
You get that kid who comes out of nowhere who wasn't the top prospect.
You know what? And you know what? That takes me back to another point. Why don't they pay these guys? Oh, we want to keep them amateur athletes.
I agree with that.
Okay, but the schools make millions.
Yeah, the coaches too. Nick Saban probably reaching to Donald Trump.
Nick Saban could buy Tuscaloosa three times over still not be broke.
Teaching them humility. But the one thing they can do is give them an allowance, because a lot of college students are broke.
Thank you.
So they can give them an allowance or something, man. You know, sometimes they do them little under deals, pay their mamas and, you know, they do some stuff under the table.
I don't blame them, though. But why does it have to be done under the table, behind closed doors? If you bring it to the light, give them a stipend, then there's no excuse for me to hire an agent early or take money from boosters. There's no reason for me to do it.
Exactly.
But half of these kids aren't even eating, but they're spending 12 hours a day on a football field.
And I also think that if you play sports and you're actually, like, for real good, you need to take some type of money management class in college.
Yes.
So you don't get to the pros and just go crazy.
I can't imagine getting a contract for millions of dollars.
You feel
like
me?
21, 22.
And kids who never really had money get it.
Right,
because then
you get all these people in your ears saying, here, I can help you out with this money. Maybe that relative's like, I know money. And then
invest this.
And then the women.
Oh yeah,
but you know what?
That's an athlete's kryptonite too, man. Women.
Well, that's any man's kryptonite, but
well,
not every man.
Yeah, mostly athletes and preachers.
Come on now.
Come on now. Not every man.
Come on now. That one chick that you've been eyeing.
Oh, no. I'm not denying what you're saying. I'm saying 90% of guys. But what about, like, Richard Simmons?
Right.
That's not his kryptonite. He'll make best friends with the women.
Yeah. Elton John.
Exactly. But no, then I also heard something, especially at the NFL, the keeping up with the Joneses thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have the best clothes, the best car, you're always at the best party, and all that costs money.
And you know what? A lot of people don't know this, but Chad Ochocinco, or Chad Johnson, as he likes to be referred to now, he talked about that. He was like, a lot of the diamonds I was wearing, fake. You know, he was like, I drove a regular car to work. The most money he spent was on his house. That was it. That's why you don't see him on these reality shows. You don't see. He retired and he's good.
Yeah, well,
he invested his money.
I guess Terrell Owens was broke.
Man. Yeah. Did you see him on TV? I got a black card, but I'm broke. He's sitting up there crying. His wife looking at him like, you know what? It's problems in the relationship now. I think I want to head towards the door.
Once the money gone, they gone.
And you know what, Joey? One of the things you could do to help you get back into football, man, you know, get you a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
We got an Xbox One at the house.
Yeah. Okay, you got Xbox One. You know, go ahead and purchase that next Madden, man.
Well, that's what I used to do.
And create you a Joey Clark on
there. I get
to
football now because I do not watch the NFL no more.
What?
I do not watch the NFL. After all the politics and all that, I like college basketball football and I like basketball. You know, then I'd be too busy to watch it.
College games to me are boring.
The NFL isn't boring. I just got uninterested.
No, but to me, the NFL is more interesting, I guess, because I came from that background. I guess had I grown up here and I didn't have a professional team to root for,
it would be. Because I used to be a diehard Peyton Manning fan when he was with the Colts. I used to love the Colts. And after he left and went to the Broncos, I kind of was watching it still. But then after all the mess that happened, first with Michael Vick, then all the stuff that are going on now with Colin Kaepernick, I'm just... You know what?
And I told my little cousins this. Vic family should just—he should just disown a lot of people.
If
you my cousin, you just signed a $100 million contract in Atlanta.
I'm changing my number.
Oh no! And we got caught up doing some dogfighting. Guess what? I did it.
DeAnthony
didn't have nothing to do with that.
Right,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm
going to remember that when I get rich, Brad.
Chris Carter got in trouble with that because he was telling young guys coming in to always have a fall guy.
Right.
And it got out and it went viral.
Well, it's the truth, though.
It's the truth. And see, at my arraignment, I'm going to pull DeAnthony inside. Hey, have about $4 million sitting for me.
Oh, man, you're going to be good when you get all your books, all the cigarettes you want.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Also, I don't watch ESPN that often. I was getting my car fixed up for a trip, and I'm sitting there, and ESPN's on.
Mm-hmm.
It's First Take. I love Stephen A. He preaches. It's great. But they did three segments.
Yeah.
All on politics and Donald Trump. It was right when the Eagles were disinvited, and they didn't really want to show up. And I was like, wait, I do politics 6 hours a day.
You don't want to watch it on ESPN.
Like, what are y'all doing?
That's why I don't like it. Donald Trump is putting politics in everything.
At the same time, if you remember the Michael Smith and Jamila show, they used to talk about politics, but they would infuse it in a way where it was comical and it related to sports. Now ESPN just comes straight off the top, you know, straight politics, not how it correlates with sports or anything like that.
It's actually an old complaint. You know, Aaron Sorkin, he wrote like West Wing, Social Network. His first TV show he ever did was called Sports Night. And it was like a show about putting on a show like Sports Center called Sports Night. And like one of the first few episodes, one of the anchors is fed up. Like, I'm just got divorced. I'm tired of doing this. I want to report on sports. I want to do the baseball scores, the football scores, hockey. Soccer's not a sport, but never mind that. But I'm tired of talking about how this young kid who just jumped into the NFL got pulled over for a DUI. I'm tired of that being sports news. I want to talk about the game because we're supposed to be entertaining people and uplifting them with the ethic of sports, seeing how people can really push themselves and achieve something, not how people screw up in their personal life.
Have you watched ESPN lately? Like,
No.
But this is the thing. Baker Mayfield just got drafted top by the Cleveland Browns. The first question they asked him on First Take was, how do you feel about being compared to Johnny Manziel? What does that have to do with me playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns or what we're doing in training camp?
Who you said?
Johnny, they compared Baker Mayfield. They was asking
Johnny Manziel.
To Johnny Manziel. And Johnny, my first question was, what does that have to do with anything he's doing in training camp right now?
Right, right.
Nothing. And, yeah. And it's stuff like that that
well, the rumor mill's always out there. The rumor mill's always out there. Like, I was a huge, when I was into football, NFL in particular, Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched, like, that, what was it, 99? Where they start at 3-4.
Mm.
And Dungy's the coach. You've got, like, Warren Sapp. You had Derek Brooks. And Sapp came into the league out of Miami. Oh, he's a problem guy. He'll cause problems. No, he ended up being definitely a Hall of Fame player.
You know, and was so humble.
Yeah, but what happened afterwards?
Was so humble.
What happened afterwards, though?
What happened with Warren afterwards? Oh, I didn't hear that. I just blanked this out.
No. Warren Sapp, he used to host the show on Fox. And some allegations came. This was before the Me Too movement.
No.
Some allegations came out, and
well, that's why he's so humble.
Exactly. I'd be quiet too. Count my millions.
But I just loved as a kid the story. They start 3-4. They go on this huge streak in the season, 10-6. Get into the playoffs. Oh, yeah. Get to the NFC Championship game. It's when the Rams were the greatest show on turf with Kurt Warner and a whole
Marshall Faulk.
And it, what was it? Prohl catches this pass over our corner. It must have been a Bert Emanuel or something. Catches it in the end zone. And it's like, no, the season can't be over.
You're right.
Finally, you get that trade with John Gruden. We win a Super Bowl. The only Super Bowl in Bucs history. You had weird things. Like, the Bucs had never run back a kickoff for a touchdown. You get this weird lore. That's what I love about sports.
Yeah.
Well, everything about the game, not, like, all the side crap.
And see,
that shouldn't even
for
matter.
All you Alabama fans, a few years back, they drafted O.J. Howard.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
I'm just saying, you know, that
what's
that could
up,
be
though?
A reason
on,
to be a Tampa Bay Bucks fan.
For what? I'm like I told you, the NFL, I've been slowly not even messing with it. Only person I followed after they left Alabama really was Julio Jones and Mark Ingram. The only two I really followed afterwards.
Your man Calvin Ridley, he's on the same team with Julio now.
I'm saying,
and that's going to be incredible.
I followed Julio. So now that Calvin Ridley's over there, you know what I'm saying? I'm a root for him, but I was following Julio. But I don't know, man. It's just, I can't get into the NFL.
I am determined to get people here interested in the NFL.
I used to be, don't get me wrong, but yeah, Trump's sticking his nose so far in and I'm jumping out of it.
What isn't Trump sticking his nose in, man?
He's not sticking his nose in my business. That's what he's not sticking his nose in.
I'm just
stay
saying,
out the
man.
Church.
I think Trump has been huge. Not for the alt-room comedy folks who are everything's political to him. I think Trump's been huge for comedy.
Oh, yeah, man. I love Trump,
course,
for real. Trump is a good payday for me, man.
Well, and you can say what you want. Like I think that's the only space these days where you can say what you want.
Of course.
You can say something that's crazy.
And politics are like that anyway when it comes to comedy. Like, you could talk about anything when it comes to politics. I remember when, what's the dude name that was trying to run for president that owned all the pizza spots?
Oh, Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
He was sitting in that chair Brandon is sitting.
Really?
He was in the studio. No. And I'm going to put this out on air. I don't think I've ever told this story.
Oh, my God.
He got knocked out. And Dan Moore, she does Noon to Three here on the station. We did a huge get-together at the RSA Activity Center. It's when Herman's doing 999. I'm like, don't say that with a certain accent. You're going to sound a little too German. But
999.
But he's 999. He's got that plan for the new tax thing. And everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. We do this event, like 4,000 people show up out the door. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So he comes in. He's sitting literally right there where you're sitting, Brandon. And the allegations that knocked him out is that he was womanized.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this fine reporter. I don't think she's working here in Montgomery anymore. Light skin, black girl, just stacked, standing right here left. And like, I obviously noticed because I'm not like a Richard Simmons or an Elton John. And Herman stands up from that chair. He gets real close. Like where there's like... Shakes her hand, but then gets real close, only a few inches away. He goes, "Hi, I'm Herman Cain, but I'm a little shy, and I need some help being brought out of my shell." I went, "Oh, man. He did it."
Oh, my
all
God.
All the allegations are true.
Let me tell you something. Out of nine, ten, all the allegations are true, man.
But you know what? In the culture we're in now, I mean, even if the allegation isn't true, That's just like that whole thing with Reuben Foster. Like, they were quick to jump on him and, oh, you know, he beating his wife and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
But his wife, who had made a false allegation before, mm-hmm. came out and said, oh, well, you know, he really didn't do it.
They ain't letting nobody slide, but
the thing is, they never printed a retraction.
Mm. Right.
They Everybody never apologized to him. It just went away.
I mean, because that's what it is. I mean, after OJ, nobody's getting away with nothing.
Oh,
these
man.
Days, man. Nobody.
Oh, man.
Like, I wanted to believe Bill was innocent until, like, the 100th person came out. You're like, okay, all these women ain't lying.
But you know what, Deanne? And we talked about this downstairs. Why wait now? What? Of all times, this happened in 1972 when I was 17 years old. Number one, why are you going to
take you down?
Wait a minute. But this is my thing. Why am I going to a married man's hotel room at 2 a.m. as a 17-year-old girl?
Now, some of them may have been just all right with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying all of them are true. But after, if you get 100, at least four of them are true.
I read George Stephanopoulos was Bill Clinton's press secretary, a short little Greek guy. And he worked with Clinton back when they were first starting the presidential campaign. He's still governor of Arkansas. And and I just love saying this. You do know in Arkansas has the biggest melons in the world. cantaloupe, honeydew. And so on working with Clinton, and going to all these appearances and stops, there were little things within the campaign they would find out about. It's like, did you hook up with a hooker or somebody in this hotel? You're like, no, George, she just, you know, took her bathing suit off, flashed me. It's no big deal. So there's like all this stuff going around, and by the time the Monica Lewinsky thing pops up, George Stephanopoulos has left the White House. He's working in the press. And so as soon as that news drops, he goes, he did it. Like, I know him. I've worked with him up close and personal.
You know what? I was a kid during that time. I don't even care what anybody say. I looked at Monica Lewinsky and I was like, you know what? High five, Bill. High five.
I looked at Marilyn Monroe and said high five, John. I did that. And I didn't say high five to Monica. He could have got some a little. I don't know.
What's the Chappelle joke too about that? About the Lewinsky thing? He says, "You know you're famous." Like, I mean, you know, Brad Pitt's fan.
Yeah.
You know, there are a few people out there that, you know, LeBron James is, now, this, if it happened to LeBron, I think it'd be true. But if, you know you're famous when the person who goes down on you becomes famous.
Right.
You know, you're that famous.
Right.
Yeah. Like you, everybody forgets, you know, probably 12 years ago, nobody knew who Kim Kardashian was.
Nah.
Some take.
I mean, people knew who her dad was,
and really, nobody really knew her dad like that.
OJ got him famous.
Yeah, but
the average person, though, everybody knew.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
dude,
but the average person didn't medalist. Know about her until that sex tape came out with Ray J, and all of a sudden, overnight. Bam.
Well, and
Kim's
before
world.
That, didn't Paris Hilton do a sex tape?
Paris Hilton had about 4 or 5 of them.
But guess what? Paris Hilton, she had her wild time, and when that sex tape came out, her family was like, we will disown you. And guess what? She got quiet and started doing philanthropy work.
The Kardashians. When they seen how Kim Kardashian's sex tape turned out, they said, let's all become whores.
You know what?
Even the dad.
That mama is a
witch.
G.
She is a witch, man. They take down so many. Lamar Odom still shook. Tristan Thompson still can't get it all together.
Bruce Jenner's now Caitlyn.
Exactly. And wait a minute.
That wasn't the Wheaties.
Right.
Exactly. And the weird part about that has won Woman of the Year at the ESPYs.
That's just crazy.
Yes. That's Woman of the Year.
A woman, man.
I mean, it's a little funny. But no, I told this the other day. Somebody followed me on Instagram named Evelyn. And I'm like, okay, another Instagram follower. Cool. I've been trying to put up more videos, get more followers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked for a second and went, Evelyn looks awful lot like the dude I knew in 9th grade. I went, oh, wow. And at first I'm a little weirded out, but then I kind of went, you know, good for you. You look like a woman. That's what you want to do.
Good
Fine.
For you.
But don't name Caitlyn Jenner Woman of the Year. What the hell is that?
I know, right? Like, shit, come on, man. That's
the PC world we live in, man. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, think about every movie that you see coming out now. All guys are cross-dressing. You know, that's every comedy that's out right now.
Well, one thing I can say about Kevin Hart, he said he will never, Now, and I've not seen him. He put out a statement, said they wanted him to do a movie where he wore a dress, and he said, I don't want to stoop to that. So when people say he's Illuminati and all that, I really can't say, you know what I'm saying? Because that's something I've never seen him do. He's probably one of the richest comics right now.
Yeah.
But you being a comedian yourself,
I would never.
Dan,
I swear to God, I would
I'm
never.
I'm just saying, Dan.
Let me tell you something. I'm a firm believer.
If they gave you $500,000.
$500,000 ain't enough to slap my mama, let alone dress like a woman for me.
I've got a buddy coming up though. He's about to get married. They're probably going to do a bachelor party down in New Orleans, and that weekend we're going to be down there. They do a thing called the Red Dress Charity Run, where all the girls wear what they want, and all the men in the run—you could walk it too or whatever—you wear a stupid red dress,
right?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, but not to go on TV in front of millions and all that. It's too much, man. Now, if it's something you do with your friends drunk, you lose a bet or something, I understand that.
Yeah.
But saying, hey, I just want to be funny. I just want to be funny.
Exactly. But think of how many comedians made their career off that.
Think of how many who didn't have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying nothing about the people who did. Dave Chappelle never wore a dress. I love Dave. Kevin Hart has it to this day. Now, some of my favorites have. I like Martin Lawrence.
Eddie Murphy
has. True. Bernie Mac is still my favorite to the death, and he has never put on a dress. So until I see my idol put on a dress, man, I don't feel like I have to stoop that far. Now, but this you made me think about something. Johnny Witherspoon, I went and saw him, and me and him actually sat backstage and drunk some red wine together. And he was talking about different comics who wear dresses and stuff, calling them all kind of names and stuff. It was just funny. But back on the Bill Cosby thing, he talked about that too, because he said he knew Bill, Robin Williams and Richard. Like, he knew all of them. And he said they were all close. And he said, I'm going to tell you this way, God done the truth. He said, I don't never remember hearing anybody talk about him putting stuff in girls' drinks.
Sure.
He said, but he did like to give women cocaine. And it was funny. Like he just said, now that's true. He said Robin Williams was on and I was on. Like, you have to think, in the 70s and 60s, those were a different time for comedy.
Exactly.
So, you know, they partied hard. So that's why I tell you, that's why a lot of them came out in 2000-something, because in the 70s, it was different. Everybody was doing it. I mean, laws and everything is different now than it was back then. That was survival. For women, too. Hey, get some cocaine, get roofied. He leave $50,000 on the dresser, it's over with.
People are scared, though. Apparently, like, the people younger than us.
Yeah.
People,
yeah.
Like, just coming into their 20s.
Yeah,
there are new studies saying they're not having as much sex.
Yeah,
like they're scared or something.
Well, it's not just that. You don't know who's a woman and who's a man now. You got to look at baby pictures these days.
Oh, you're not going to go all Janelle Monáe on us, be pansexual?
Oh, no. What?
Yeah, apparently pansexual means I'll sleep with anybody. Like,
that's what Janelle Monáe said?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that came out a few months ago.
What's wrong with her?
Nothing.
And I used to like her. She looks good.
Maybe she's
part of that whole. She's part of that whole Prince tree. You know, everybody's a little different on that.
Yeah, she'll sleep with anybody.
I mean,
well, that's okay for a woman to say, not a man.
Yeah, and it's all
that's okay for a woman
standard,
to say.
Double standard.
Well, no, but she's saying like I'm not just bisexual. Like if it's somebody who's trans who transition, anybody.
She's just nasty. It's just disgusting.
Come on, D.
So you will sleep with anything?
Oh no!
So don't tell me to come on, D.
I ain't saying that.
Well, and I feel like that's one of the last things. Like dating, you're allowed to have your preference,
right?
But I feel like there are people out there trying to change. That, like, how dare you?
Like, they're not like they got all this LGBTNOC, all that, like, the community. They got mad at Genuine. Do you remember? Because Genuine
Didn't want to
kiss a transgender, somebody who had turned all the way into a woman.
Yeah.
But he said, no, it wasn't Genuine, it was I cannot remember who it was, but he wouldn't do it, and it may have been Genuine or Shamar Moore or somebody.
It was Genuine.
But they dogged him because he wouldn't. And I'm like, come on, man.
She wanted to hug and take a picture with him, but he was up there like, well, I'm not really comfortable. I'll take the picture, but I'm not really comfortable with you hugging on me.
Yeah,
hold on, but from the things I've read, Richard Pryor would have kissed her.
Richard Pryor probably would have done more than that.
We got to hit a break, y'all. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. Got Deanne, Brandon in the studio. Be right back.
First, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, y'all, it's Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar. Right down here on the Alabama River at the Montgomery Marina. And let's talk about the river. It's pretty down here. We got pontoon boats that you can rent. Ride up and down the river, go down to the sandbar. Maybe take a little picnic along with you. We can fix you up for that part, too, with fresh seafood from the Gulf, fried, steamed, and grilled. And, you know, a lot of times I forget to talk about that ribeye steak. You know, a lot of folks don't think you go to a seafood place to get a ribeye, but I promise we sell a ton of them, and that's good eating. Twan back there in the kitchen knows what to do with a ribeye. We also got that grilled amberjack, all kind of fresh fish coming in, yellowfin tuna, red snapper. Good eating, and let's talk about entertainment. Here we go this Sunday at 5 o'clock. This time all the way from Los Angeles, California to Montgomery, Cherie Porte. Little lady will be here with her blues band. This place is going to jump. I know we've been checking her out. So y'all check it all out at CapitalOysterBar.com. We've got a menu of the good food we got. Talk about the boat rental and the entertainment coming up. You'll see it all. Check it out. Come see us soon, Hunger.
Caliber Gun and Pawn on South Memorial Drive in Prattville is more than a typical pawn shop. Just listen to what's inside the little blue building. Games and game consoles, tools, TVs, flat screens, cameras, electronics, computers. You need to see it to believe it. The savings are stupid. I can keep going. Guns, 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 and more guns. Ammo at gun show prices every day. Jewelry, rings, bracelets, necklaces, earrings, and more. All at great prices. Sports memorabilia, military collectibles, mowers, and lawn equipment. By the way, did we mention guns? High Caliber Gun and Pawn buys gold. If it weighs, it pays. High Caliber Gun and Pawn wants to say thank you to our U.S. military. Your service is appreciated. And your first FFL transfer is free at High Caliber Gun and Pawn. High Caliber Gun and Pawn on Memorial Drive, just across from the Prattville Farm Center. Look for the little blue building bursting at the seams with savings. High Caliber Gun and Pawn, 1075 South Memorial Drive, Prattville.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. For a free quote, call 1-800-577-2058. AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. They support everything you love.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The better than normal rain chances are back on this first day of summer. In fact, the risk will continue and then fade out in the overnight hours. Low temperature in the middle 70s. Tomorrow, we'll do it again. A rather generous supply of showers and storms, a better than normal chance. Not every town gets wet, though. High temperature in the lower 90s tomorrow. By Saturday, routine forecasts, high around 93, partly cloudy, scattered afternoon storms here and there. Then low to mid 90s on Sunday and Monday as storms become isolated in nature. Our weather app keeps you on top of the weather changes. When you take it on the road, it knows where you are. It'll give you the current weather, forecast weather, radar, and warnings for that area. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. It's a great companion on the road. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, the best quality building materials in the River Region for decades. From common builds to special orders and local delivery. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Gary Clark.
Oh, we're back to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that song, baby.
It's so good, man.
I just want to roll. Okay.
Want to be like as that Herman Cain moment. Oh, that, this yes. is the song probably going in his head. I need to.
As soon as he seen the girl. Oh man, I used to have fun talking about Herman Cain back when I was touring in what was that 2013 or 12, I think. Man, I had fun with Herman Cain.
Yeah, 11, 12. That's when I first started, by the way. I came in.
Me too.
August 11 in radio. In comedy.
I started comedy in 2011.
Yeah, and it was, that was a crazy campaign.
Oh, man. It gave me some of the best material.
Well, and you get the most stick-up-the-butt politician, Mitt Romney, up there, and it's just like.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Well, you got to have your contrast between politicians and stuff like
true.
That.
True.
They can't all be fun.
True. I wish they were. Yeah, we've got somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
We've got a Robin. Hey, Robin, what's up?
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm going back to the conversation before your break.
Go wherever you like.
I got into my car. I had it on 93.1, and I was listening to it, and I heard you say something about pansexual. It reminded me of something my daughter used to say in high school. She came out when she was 16.
Okay.
And so a lot of her group was homosexual. Well, she was talking to me one day, and she said, yeah, you know, so-and-so is gay, so-and-so is bi, and I'm not going to call his name, but she mentioned one of her best friends, and she said, so-and-so is tri.
What is trisexual?
I said, tri? What the heck is that? And she said, he'll try anything.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
So I looked at him a different way from then on.
Yeah, that's just nasty.
I know.
What they used to call it back in the day? Being manny.
Yeah, we just called it trifling back in the day. Tri-men trifling.
That's right, that's right. But I just wanted to let you know that, and to let you know I enjoy listening to you guys.
So what about you, Robin? Are you tri, bi, happy,
no,
straight?
No, I am totally straight.
Okay, good. I'm praying for you.
Me.
Let me know if you want to try anything.
Yeah, and you know, my younger daughter is a lot like me. She was born liking guys.
Good.
So,
oh, Lord, Jesus.
Not certain anything wrong with anything else. It's just that we like our men.
See, now hold on. I got a 11-month-old daughter. I want to know what are the signs that they start liking guys too early so I can hit her in the throat real quick. You got to tell me what's
oh my
the
God.
Signs.
Well, my younger daughter, she was probably 3, and we went to a restaurant in Birmingham with my parents. And again, she was about 3. And all of a sudden, she looked at me. She goes, Mommy, I see some cute boys over there. And my dad heard her. And we turned around. It was a table full of college age guys. So he said, nope, she's going straight into the nunnery. No boys for her.
Right.
But so look for that sign. You know, she's checking out the boys that age.
Yeah, but yeah. If you go straight into the nunnery, it could mean celibacy or the opposite direction.
Well, that's right. True. Well, my dad wasn't thinking like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking like your dad. Put a chastity belt on and grab the belt.
I know, right? Maybe let her start dating around 39, 40, something like that.
About 40, yeah. That's a good age.
Yeah, that'll do. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Robin.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay.
You too. Well, yeah, that's weird because... Like, I am in that age where if I meet somebody, oh, she's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to her. And then, like, how old are you? It's like, well, I'm just graduating. Like, college? Just graduating college.
Yeah, you don't know what life is.
Like, 18. And I'm like, to me now at 29, I'm like, you are a kid.
Right.
You're a kid.
21, you're a kid to me. You have not experienced enough of life to even jump into the realm of wanting to be a part of. Let me tell you something, man. Radio, entertainment, all of this comes with a lot. And you can't just know ordinary person. It takes a lot to date somebody who's an entertainer.
Yes.
And see, that was going to be one of my questions for you, D. Like, what type of things have you had to deal with being an entertainer, you know, not only here, but good on question. Stage, you know, plays and all the other stuff that you do?
I've been through a lot, man. I tell you, I used to be very stereotyped as a young comic. Because coming up, or like 2011, 2012, I started comedy at 19, 20 years old. And I was young, and I was very loud, outgoing, and I was just very strong-minded and harsh, I could say that. So a lot of people were afraid to use me, but a lot of people loved me. Like, it was a bias. And so this one lady took a chance to put me in this play. And it was back in 2013. And after that, I started doing all kind of plays and commercials. And they realized I could be funny all around. That's just who I am when I'm doing my own thing. So
when you just put out your own play, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually my third one. I just did my third one on Father's Day.
That's awesome.
And we had a good crowd. It was at my place. The place seats maybe 300. We had like 270 in there.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice,
man.
Nice,
so.
Nice. Like, and you
congrats.
Thank you.
Just take it from experience and write, like,
I've always been a writer. I went to school. I was in Troy. I was a journalist major in Troy.
Ooh, that
I
makes
was a journalist
a
major in Troy, so I always had the writing bug. I want to go back and finish. You know, I left after 2 years to pursue comedy, and I don't know, man. I just took off, like, comedy and everything. Just, it feels good to me.
I think if you can do it, it sounds like you can. You don't need the degree.
Yeah, right, right.
And like, if you can write, you can write. And if you give it something, if it's good, people will buy it and want
to
make it.
Well, but see, in today's society, it's always good to have that piece of paper behind your name. That's why you get a lot of people. And we've talked about this off air. You know, a lot of sports stars who become sports stars and still go back to college
True.
And finish their
right,
degrees.
Right, right.
Because you... at the end of the day, you still want something to fall back
and
on.
I think it's good to go back if you actually want to learn something to better your career, give you a new skill.
If I go back, it wouldn't be for journalism, though. I'd go back for business or something.
Yeah, like, if you're going for the credential, nobody has ever asked me to see my degree.
Right.
Nobody. Right.
I've done some work at Alabama State and AUM Theater Department, and I've never had to show, like, they've called me, and I've never had to show my, you know, credentials. They just know I do it.
Well, but at the same time, you're in a place that's basically word of mouth. That's kind of how Montgomery works.
Right.
You know, oh, I know this nice guy named Joey. You know, he has a great voice, and he's on radio. He might be good for this, and that's how Joey runs into something that's going to pay.
True.
You know, that's how a lot of the stuff we get, you know, around the station and stuff like that.
Well, that's what I got to work on. I'm shy. I don't network very well.
I highly doubt that, man.
No, it's true. It's true. No, I've reached out to everybody here at the station, like at Blue Water. But no, if I'm out on the town, I just did this conference. I mean, at the first day, I didn't quite have a panic attack, but I was like on the verge of, like, I felt physically weird.
So you got to hang out with me one day, man. We just got to go hang, brother.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, Lord.
But see, that's the one thing I was talking to Joey about, like, doing radio here and stuff like that. It's like people are finally starting to recognize me, you know, outside of this. And it's just a little off-putting because I'm like, I'm usually a reserved person. I like blending into the background.
Right. I'm not a background type of person. No. I've never been.
I could tell that.
I'm a people's person. But I'm the type of person, though, you can put me in a room full of anybody and I can hold my own.
But see, at the same time, D, I can tell you right now, yeah, I didn't know you as a kid, but you were that 10-year-old that grandma would put up on a crate and, you know, you entertaining at the family reunion. You know what I'm saying? You talking about everybody. Like Uncle Joe, is that you?
I was the 10-year-old that did it, and everybody like, boy, hush, move. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure you've seen, though, I'm this way. I'm sure you've seen maybe comics this way, other people in entertainment, that if it's just the everyday thing, I'm kind of quiet, I'm kind of shy, I'm a wallflower. But you put me on the stage, I come alive.
Of course.
And that's kind of how I am. I'm just not the outgoing. I really just don't like people.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
I like individual people, but when it's like a big group of random people.
And you know what? That's weird with me. I guess, you know, being the age that I am now, I've come to discover that. Like, when I was younger, because I started hanging out when I was like, you know, 15 to 16, like hanging out in adult spots and stuff. And being here now and being the age I am, I really don't like crowds. I don't. Yeah. I don't. If I go somewhere and it's like a crowd full of people, it's like, okay, got to prepare myself. Okay, you know, especially if I know it's going to be some 18, 19-year-olds there.
I don't like kids. I'll say that.
Exactly. Right.
I hate kids, man. I hate millennials.
Oh, God. They're entitled to everything.
I swear, I hate millennials, man. Anybody who's, really, I'm under 30. I'm right there at 30. But I don't like nobody under 30. I hang with nobody under 30.
I'm 29.
Well, you're just like me.
I'm about to say, you're right.
I'm 27.
Right,
you're just like me.
Yeah.
I hate anybody under 30. See, people like you, we caught it early. You know what I'm saying? We've been in adulthood for long enough that, you know, we come in an era that we grasp it. But people like, I don't know, even some 30-year-olds kind of don't have it all together. They get on my nerves.
Well, it depends on your background, how you was raised and stuff. Because people who've had things handed to them all their life.
Right.
You kind of see it.
And most millennials are like that. People grew up saying, well, I want to give my children. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you don't want to hinder them at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, that was going to be a question I had for you, too. Like, you know, you have children of your own.
We still eat fried bologna sandwiches. I don't care how much money in the bank.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Do you still want to give your kids that work ethic, or do you want them to have things that you didn't have?
I'm going to be straight up honest with you, man. I love my kids to death. I talk a lot. I don't like kids, but I love my kids.
Right, of course.
I have three kids, man, and I'm the type of person, I'm the type of dad, I'll give you anything if you give me something back. Now, my 2-year-old, me and him are working on it. My 11-month, she's finna be a year in July. That's my world. She's my daughter. She when she get there, we'll see how we do. But my 6-year-old, he's at the age now that where if you want something, you got to give me something. Go do good in school, and then hey, when your report card comes back, I give you whatever you want. But I teach him responsibility now. I teach him life. And when he say, hey, I want this, hey, my son loves fried bologna sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? If we're in the house, we're going to eat some sausages. We're going to eat vainas. We're going to eat noodles. We can go out to wherever, but if we just chilling, man, he'll come, hey, Dad, I want some noodles. Let's get it. And I love it for that. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to. You can't spoil them to the point where they're just rotten and they want what they want and when they want it. You have to let them know that life isn't handed to you.
And see, I think that's why there are so many more depressed people now as adults, because their parents didn't prepare them for that reality.
Right.
And when they get out there, get to working, and it's hard for them sometimes.
They kill they sucker. They got to even eat vaina sausage.
Man, because the lights got cut off. Man, do you know what we used to do when the lights got cut off? Mama would light them candles.
Yep.
We had water balloon fights.
Oh, man.
I remember my mom had a water balloon fight for us just to keep our attention off there when they're like, hey, let's start throwing water balloons.
Man, we would pull out that grill, and you would never know it. It would seem like just a cookout day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I've learned to appreciate, like, the little things in life. I mean, because you can get to a place, now I've been there, dark place, like the world is not effing fair.
Right.
No, I mean, you know, I've talked about it some on air, but to see like my beautiful mother, who's was my world, like the dynamo of our family, kind of was the one to organize everything, to watch her kind of get sick, slowly lose her mind with brain cancer and die. You get into a place where you're like, and then the politics doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Everything's different. Like, what the hell am I doing with my life? And there's this one moment I was telling the ever so awesome and lovely Lori at Infusion and Cryo, got frozen today, that my brother's dog that I've helped raise for 3 years, I call him, his name's Gimli for the Lord of the Rings movie, but I call him the Red and Fuzzy Big Booty Buddha. Now, the red and fuzzy comes from the fact he's a fox red Labrador retriever. The big booty comes from the fact he's a lab. He's like a boat. He can get in the water. You know, he shakes that thing when I come home. But the Buddha part, the wise part, I really was down in the dumps. Like, asking myself these questions, why do people die too soon? You know, that sort of, just to sum it up, you look up in the sky and you go, why?
Right.
But you're not really wanting an answer. And I was in one of those moods, kind of in my own head. I think I was looking down, not paying attention. Why? And then all of a sudden, lick, right on the side of my face. And I looked at that damn dog. I was like, okay. And it can be a dog. It can be milk and cookies. It can even be like, oh, I've got food on the table. It can be like the little things.
Just something to let you know love is still there.
Yeah. And if people also, like the Anthony Bourdain committing suicide, you'd think that guy has the world by the stones.
What?
Like, he's got everything going on. He's got fame. He's got money. He knows all sorts of people. He gets to share meals with people all throughout the world. It's great,
you know,
new girlfriend.
The more you have, man, the lonelier you are. Like Robin Williams, you think about these people who died young from drug overdose or heart attacks or suicide or whatever. They're lonely, man. Michael Jackson, Prince, Robin Williams.
Yep.
These people are lonely because they get all that money and then first off, the hustle and struggle to get to that point is real.
It is.
People do so many drugs and alcohol just to get through the next day. And then once they get there, okay, I'm finally here. I got all the money in the world. I'm going to get more drugs. I'm going to get more alcohol. And then you got to know who to trust and women. And it's just, you go crazy.
All that stuff's an illusion.
It is, man. It's like it's like living a fantasy. Well, and you don't know which way is up. You don't know. I had to teach myself, man, that no one is immune to the trials and tribulations of this life. And I have to ground myself.
Of course. I mean, I learned that at a young age by listening to artists like Frankie Beverly and Maze. Joy and pain, man.
Right.
Can't have one without the other.
And I started off this show saying that sometimes people think, oh, music, what, we're on a music station, or like the old vinyls I pull out. And I'm glad that I started a Johnny Taylor renaissance with you, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Johnny Taylor.
Man, I love JT.
But it's more than just, oh, I like that music, I like that sound, that production, those lyrics. But it's more than an escape and entertainment. At the end of the day, some of those songs, you really learn lessons. These are like the modern day. You think of poets as these, like, you know, old froopy people, or like Homer and like Greek times. Yeah, these are modern day poets that are telling real stories from real life.
Oh, yeah, you got like Bill Withers and artists like that, you know, Bobby Womack.
I can remember riding the car with my dad. His favorite Bill Withers song wasn't Lovely Day, it wasn't
Use Me.
Use Me, which is a great track. But
Grandma's Hand?
It was Grandma's Hand.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
We would drive down to the farm in Andalusia, and I got to know my great-grandmother, his grandmother, for a little while, and he'd play that song as we'd ride there.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, my grandmother used to play that back when we had a little Bonneville back in the 90s. Me and my little cousin was sitting in the back seat listening to it, and we loved that song.
Yeah, and it's just, I think that's what really, like if you're an artist or a comedian or a radio, whatever you end up doing, you have to remember it's what you're doing in the moment that is, I think, providing for yourself and others. Always trying to find what's meaningful in life. Because I don't think it just happens to you. And the outside stuff, I follow this guy who essentially said, do not seek fame, money, or power for their own sake.
Right.
Now, you might come across money, you might come across fame, you might be powerful, but if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be miserable.
Mm.
You're going to be miserable.
Because you have nothing else, man. That's like that's all that's going to define you. Hey, I got this. Well, what else you got for it, man? What are you doing with it?
Well, and that wisdom's from 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I get in that headspace going, people, and, you know, that was Epicurus, the Greeks, 2,500 years ago. But then there are people living 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
There are just, like, new things we're discovering, going, what is it like? We take so much for granted. What is it like where you don't even, you're fighting off beasts in the wilderness and just first crafting
stuff? Well, and you know what? I'm seeing more of these survival shows coming out. I'm telling you, the government trying to tell you something.
Right, man.
Like if the power grid go out, hey, you better learn how to throw a stick or put a piece of metal on the end of the stick and hunt for your food.
Just long as I can keep me a cassette player, man, or something, and listen to music, bro. I can survive. Music gets me through. I don't know. I can listen to music, man. It just gets me through. It eases my mind. And you know what's crazy? Some of the best artists, whether it's music, paint, whatever, that make some of the best work have been through some of the most pain. You think about Beethoven and people like that.
Mm-hmm. Billie Holiday.
Of course. Sam Cooke. Like, they experienced tremendous
Donny Hathaway pain. And his Donny mental
Hathaway.
Illness.
Oh, my God. Like, what these people went through and the music they made, like, it's crazy.
And that's what I think is so special, too, about art. It's like, okay, like, you know, I'm a huge, you know, Prince fan, right? People know that. But, like, that, like, there's a new album coming out in September where he sat down in 1983 in his studio by himself, played the piano for an hour, going through songs that were not going to be released for 5 years. That's coming out. He's dead. That lives forever.
Right.
Well, and even if, like, you never find the tapes, it goes and dies. The way I like to think about things is, like, if you do something, like you have the love of a parent and a child or a great relationship where you create some magnificent form of art, it will always have been created.
Mm-hmm.
You always pulled that off. And that's what gives me solace at the end of the day. It's like, okay, what you're doing is always in the middle of eternity.
Right.
And how are we going to put our little imprint on it?
Yeah, man. That's why you got to be mindful of what you put in the world, because it's your legacy.
It is.
Whatever you put in, what we put out is what we're going to get back, man. What people are going to remember as our kids, our occupation, whatever. Whatever we do with this short life we have, that's what's going to be our legacy. So take advantage of it.
It's always your deeds that live on.
Well, we solve all the world's problems, man.
I know, right?
Well, yeah, we went from, like, tri and pansexuals and... Well, no, the peeing conversation was off air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's keep it off air.
Let's keep
that definitely off air.
Damn, Brandon. Donald Trump for the next show. How about that?
Thanks for joining me, guys, and thank you for listening, folks. I'll be back tomorrow night.
Joey Clark.